Matthew 21, starting at verse 28. Jesus speaking said, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, 'The first.' Jesus said unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him.'" How many, probably the older generation, I don't know about the younger generation, but how many remembers the children's story about the tortoise and the hare? How many remembers that? And young folks, if you don't remember it, I don't know if the schools today tell stories like that. But to be able to move us in the direction I feel like the Lord wants us to with this message, I'm going to title it, "The Tortoise and the Hare." In our text, there's the evidence of a need to get in to the kingdom of heaven. Getting into the kingdom of heaven is not the final destination as such, eternity in heaven. But as believers tonight, we are living in the kingdom of heaven. But to get there, there has to be a dying out of self. To get into the kingdom of heaven, one must repent of their sins and be born again. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, doesn't come with observation. But it's within you. And he speaks to them of who would make it into the kingdom of heaven first.
Amen.
And our desire tonight is should never be the ultimate end of heaven, but I believe to live in the kingdom here. Because when we're living in the kingdom in all its purpose, then we're able to reach others and point them into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
It's as if we're on our way somewhere. The kingdom of heaven's the vehicle to get there. And we pull others up on the running board and on inside with us. And we take them to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus faces much ridicule from the Pharisees and those church leaders of their day. Right. In the beginning of chapter 21 of Matthew, Jesus enters into Jerusalem in the triumphant form that the prophets said he would. As he come on the foal, riding upon the foal of an ass. They strode their palm leaves and all in the way. And they cried, "Hosanna." And they sang praises to him and in honoring him. The Pharisees didn't like it. But in one gospel he said to them that if they keep their peace, the stones would cry out. I certainly don't want a rock praising God in my place. Imagine tonight if Jesus were to come in the physical form. We certainly, if we could recognize that it was him, we'd adore him. But he doesn't come in the physical form. But he does come in the spiritual realm. And when he comes, we glorify him. We honor him. But yet the enemy does not like that. He doesn't appreciate our praise that we send unto the Lord. He doesn't appreciate the honor that we give unto Christ. This happened here. But then after that, Jesus goes into the temple. He saw the market going on there, the merchandise of the temple there that was displeasing to him. He made that whip and he run them out of there and turned the tables upside down. And he said, "This shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." All of this is happening and coming to the point where our text is. After Jesus had done that, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. Once he got carnality cleaned out of the temple, the power to heal was present.
Yes.
Did you ever notice that? Jesus come in there, he cleans the temple out, he gets all the mercantile out of there and all of this carnality that's going on in the house of God, and then there comes the power of faith is present to heal. No doubt tonight, if we can get carnality out of the house of God, if we can get carnality out of the physical church of our hour, then the faith and healing would reoccur in our midst. Jesus healed the blind. He healed the lame. He healed them, and his power was present again. Amen. Praise goes up unto him. Wow. And again, the Pharisees do not appreciate what is going on. Wouldn't it be awful tonight if somebody in the house had a grave sickness among us, and the pastor lays hands on them and they're healed, evidently made whole without the shadow of a doubt, and some good brother or sister in the church says, "Huh,
come on,
didn't happen for me.
Come on.
Huh. Come on, hey, wouldn't it be awful?"
It would be.
Come on.
This is what's happening here. And Jesus knows what he's yet to say to these Pharisees. Who are the Pharisees? They are the religious leaders. They're the folks that's got the word of the law. They've had it all their life. They know how it goes. They know what it says. They're very versed in it. And it's strange tonight how versed they were and did not understand when Isaiah said he'd come and he came and they did not know it. You see, sometimes we can know so much in our mind that our heart fails to take a hold of it.
You're right.
A young man incarcerated, I say young, he's about my age, I want to think he's still young.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. He knew the Word of God. He knows the Word of God. But he was lost as lost can be, on his way to hell. And I told him, I said, "You're 60, you're 12 inches from hell."
Come on now.
What you talking about? I said, "Everything you know up here is about 12 inches from your brain to your heart."
Yes, sir.
If you'll ever make that transfer, you'll be all right. But as long as it's just in your head, it's not all right.
You're right.
He's testifying today, or in this hour now, "I've made that move. I've transferred it to my heart." And his conversation is a little different when he writes from the prison, writes from the jail. He's made that transfer. How many among us that we fail to do a little discerning among may be in the same shape?
You're right.
Jesus and his disciples come. He sees a fig tree has leaves, but it doesn't have figs. Jesus wanting to get figs off of it to relieve his hunger. He sees there's no leaves. The fig tree puts on leaves, figs before it does leaves, if I understand right. Brother Don Rich told me that.
Yeah.
Amen. I got to wondering about that, and I asked him one day.
Yeah.
He said over there, according to what he'd studied, they put figs on first and then leaves. And when Jesus come to this tree, it had leaves, so obviously it's supposed to have figs.
Come on.
When he went there and had no figs, and he put a curse on it and said, "You'll bear no figs anymore." The disciples was amazed at that, but he simply told them, if you have faith, you can ask God for whatever you need, and it will be done. If you want a sycamore tree plugged up and planted in the sea, and it needs to be done, then go ahead and ask for it. Faith is the driving force of living for God.
Amen.
He taught the disciples this. The Pharisees are complaining as they always do. They want to know, by what authority do you do these things? Now, what are they talking about? What authority, by what authority do you do these things? Surely, they're thinking in their minds, he has come in the temple and made havoc of their merchandise. He's laid hands on some blind folks and some lame, and he's made them whole. They're talking about a fig tree is cursed and the thing is withered away. Who gave you this authority?
Come on.
Jesus, in his wisdom, not to be caught and ostracized by the Pharisees, he said, "I'll ask you something. Was John the Baptist of God or of men?" They thought about that a minute and said, if we say he's of God, he's going to say, "Why didn't you believe him? If we say he's of men and he's not of God, we fear the people because they really believe in who John the Baptist was." So they wouldn't answer. So he said, "I'm not going to answer. But what think ye?" What think ye? A man had two sons. He said to the son, one son, he said, "Go and work in my vineyard." He said, "I will not." This man represents the publicans and the harlots. He said the publicans and the harlots will go into the kingdom of God before you do, you Pharisees. He said they will enter into service for the Lord. They will enter into this realm of holiness and righteousness before you will. What the publicans and the harlots represent was the lowest form of life in their day that you could possibly think of. They represented thieves, pickpockets. That's what they thought about the publicans. They represented somebody you just cannot trust. On top of that, they were traitors. They were Jews. They were Hebrews. And they're working for the Roman government. Traitors, backstabbers, turning their backs on the nation. He said, they're going to go in before these religious leaders. And the harlots represented the lowest form of life, of prostitution and illicit lifestyles of their day. And it's horrible to be looked at by this religious leader as they would term Jesus, to be told such a thing. Huh? How can you say they will get in before us? We know the scriptures. We know the word. I feel tonight like it's a necessity to stir your pure minds that what you know is not what will get you over.
Right.
What you do with what you know is what's going to get you through this life for Christ. What you do with what you know. You see, the Pharisees, with what they knew, they used it for their own glory. They used it for their own praise. They used it for their own magnification of themselves, that men would praise them and men would give them glory and men would give them honor. They did not use what they knew to bring honor unto the Father, as Jesus walked upon the streets of Jerusalem and on the shores of Galilee. In the book of John, it seems more relevant than the other Gospels. But his whole intent was to do the Father's will. Philip said, to show us the Father, and it'll suffice us. And Jesus said, I haven't been with you so long that you've not seen him. Everything I do, I see the Father doing it. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Pharisees couldn't see the Father because they had all this gain of intellectual understanding of the Word of God, and they used it for their own glory. Now, it is a dilemma tonight within the holiness ranks when our standard becomes our glory and not God's glory. I love the way of holiness. I love the way of holiness that helps me, gives me a purpose in life to be different from this world. I'm thankful and I'm not ashamed to be identified with that crowd that looks different. I'm thankful tonight and honored to be identified with that crowd that doesn't run to the places of this world. But that doesn't bring glory to me. It's got to bring glory unto Jesus. It's got to point men unto the cross of Calvary. Amen. Why do you live like you live? It's not my honor, but it's His honor. What I know has got to be going to glorify Him. That son was asked to work in the vineyard, and he said, I'll go. Is that what the first one said? He said, I will not. Those publicans and harlots said, we got too much to do of our own right now. We got our own lifestyle to live. We can't go right now. He said to the other son, go into my vineyard and work. The other son said, I'll go. Show me the standard. I'll take it on. I'll walk in it. I'll live in it. But he started walking into that vineyard, or toward that vineyard, and took a turn and went another direction. He said, I'll live it. He said, I'll walk it. He said, I'll talk it. But in the secret places where humanity cannot see, he did his own thing. He played his own game. He had his own lifestyle, covered by the veneer of being the husbandman's son. Now, I said the tortoise and the hare. What I remember about that story is that apparently the hare, which is a rabbit, said, I'm faster than you are. To the tortoise, I can go much faster than you. That makes me better than you are. Let's have a race and prove it. The old turtle said, or the tortoise may have said, I know that because look, your house is in the ground. Mine's on my back. There ain't no way. Ain't no way I can beat you. That publican said, ain't no way I can make it into such a pure place. They've got all the knowledge of this thing. They've got all the intelligence. And there ain't no way. But he decided to go ahead and make a run for it. So they get on the start line. There goes the hare. There goes that rabbit. The old turtle kind of shook his head real slow. Kind of armed his house up on his back. And here we go.
Yeah, there you go.
And he's on his way.
Praise.
Here's the problem. Jesus told the Pharisees. He said, and those leaders, the scribes, he said, those publicans and those harlots are going to get into the kingdom before you do.
Yeah.
How can this be? They're a long way ahead of them in what they know.
That's right.
I want to talk to you tonight. They're a long way ahead of them. We're a long way ahead of the scum of the earth, as some would call it tonight. The unchurched of our hour, and there's more than you can imagine.
You're right.
I said there's more than you can imagine that's unchurched in our generation tonight. There's folks that you'd be amazed don't even know what revival means. We witnessed to a young lady in a restaurant. This was 5-6 years ago. Invited her to the church. She didn't come, but she said, "I want to come." And then another week she came and was talking about it. And we said, "Come this week. We're having revival." She said, "What is revival?"
Oh my God!
I thought everybody knew. We all know that are versed.
Yes.
And used to this walk.
My
wife says to her, "Well, revival's where we have church every night." She says, "Cool."
Yeah, man.
Praise the Lord. But that rabbit, he knows the trails. Because he's gone those trails 10 times before the turtle could ever go over them in a lifetime.
Come on,
that rabbit knows the trails to run and knows the route, and it started off. He said, "The harlots will make it there before you do." That rabbit, you know the story. And I don't know it as well as I should know it to tell it, but stories like this can have a new meaning every time you tell them.
That's right. You are right.
That rabbit, he knows he's so far ahead, he stops. "I think I'll just rest. He'll never catch up with me. He'll never catch up with me. Everything I know, I'll be able to, even when I hear him, when he comes by, I'll be able to get past him and I'll win and I'll be the winner. I told him I'd beat him." But that hare, while he is so confident of everything he knows, that he's going to win.
Yes.
"Ain't nobody going to come ahead of me." What did Paul say? "Wake up, thou that sleepest."
Yes.
Something to that effect, that our redemption is closer than it's ever been.
Yes.
He thought, "I'll just rest for a little while." Can I tell you tonight that there's no time to rest?
Amen.
"Oh, but preacher, I'm tired. I've been taxed with spiritual warfare all week long. I've been sick in my body and it's hindered me from praying. And I'm tired and I've been in this way so long. Please tell me that I can have an opportunity to rest." Beloved, tonight, the Word of God tells us in the book of Hebrews that our rest is in the Holy Ghost.
Right.
If you need rest tonight, it'll come by the power of the Holy Ghost. But we must not stop and take a rest thinking that everything will be all right. We'll fall asleep. We must rest in nothing less than the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
While he's sleeping, the tortoise, slow but sure, is a coming. He comes and he's moving slow enough. He gets a full view of the sleeping rabbit. He ain't going to get to the finish line like that. I'll be quiet so I don't disturb him. Got that house. And he's a moving. Sometimes we look at folks that don't know what we know. Sometimes we look down on them. Sometimes we say there ain't no way they'll ever make it. There's no way they'll ever come to the place where I've come. But you just take a rest in the flesh. You take a rest from spirituality. Take a rest from the Word of God. Take a rest from persevering in faith and praying. And you'll know when you see them entering in before you do. What a truth our Lord has given to these Pharisees. He said, John came unto you in the way of righteousness. You didn't believe him. We've come to an hour where the righteousness of preaching is mocked. And it's cared little for unless it does something for us personally and makes us feel good. That's all right for him if he wants to believe it that way. When it's total gospel from the Word of God, sounds like we may be acting like a hare and just decided to sleep a little bit because I've got enough within my own understanding to get me to the finish line before anybody else will. Oh, Jesus. I don't want to be like this hare and think that I've got it made just because I've done run 38 years down this road. Yes, sir. Like the song says, I'm running the last mile home. I'm not interested in walking the last mile home. I'm not interested in just taking my time. When I see the lights of that city, it sparks something inside of me. Amen. It makes a sparkle come into my eye. As the Word of God says, and when the Lord comes, He'll come in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. I believe it'd be so quick. But at the same time, I believe the child of God will have that sparkle in his eye for his true love, the Lord Jesus Christ. And by all means, I want to run my last mile in. But I cannot succumb to the thought that because I've run for 38 years, I can just stop and rest. And anybody else can make it on, won't beat me in there. Paul said, I run not with uncertainty. In other words, something to the effect, I fight not as though I'm fighting the wind. He said to run as though there's nobody going to get across the finish line but you. He said in one place, I'm trying to take a hold of that that's taken a hold of me. The tortoise and the hare can be a reminder to us if we're going to win. If we're going to win, we must not stop. We must not stop. Would you stand tonight? Well, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Praise the Lord. God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Holy, wonderful Lord, as your presence is in this house tonight, precious God, as you're looking upon our hearts, we invite you, Lord, to search our hearts. Lord, look into the very depths of our souls tonight. If there's any sleepiness, Lord, if there's any halting in anybody's heart tonight, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, this heart would be stirred and be illuminated to understand, I cannot stop. I cannot rest. I must persevere on. I must endeavor with everything that's inside of me. Would you come tonight that the Lord is dealing with your heart? Would you tonight take responsibility for your need in your heart and say, preacher, I'd confess tonight by coming. I've acted like that hair. I thought that I had it made because I had time in. I thought I had it made because I had the knowledge of the Most High. But maybe you're here tonight and you don't know the Most High. And you don't know the love of Jesus. The Lord is wanting to be acquainted with you tonight. He's wanting to kiss your sins away. He's wanting to speak peace to your heart and make a difference in your life. Would you come pray? Everybody else that can, let's pray tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.